sometimes it just turns out that way. Oh, Monday morning, you gave me no warning of what was to be. Oh, Monday, Monday, how could you leave and not take me?
I have people skills. I am good at dealing with people. Can't you understand that? What the hell is wrong with you people?
Every other day of the week is fine, yeah. But whenever Monday comes,
it's hurricane season.
Good morning to you too.
Andrea, Barry, Chantel.
Good night, John Boy.
Dexter, Aaron.
Good night, Mama.
Fernand, Gabrielle, Humberto.
Wrong theme song, but.
Imelda, Jerry, Karen, Lorenzo, Melissa, Nestor, Olga, Pablo,
Bueller,
Rebecca,
Bueller,
Sebastian,
Bueller,
Tanya.
How many you got?
Van and Wendy.
Okay, there we go. I was going to say, that looked like a short list that I'm looking on your screen.
Those are your hurricane names this season. Which one will be the one? Karen would be appropriate, and then leave that alone.
That name's already been leveled. Karen, if you're listening, I'm sorry. On behalf of everybody who will never apologize
very
to you.
Unjustly, yes, exactly. Morning, Gray.
Good morning.
Gray and Joel, the Gray Area. We do this Monday morning. Just a fun way we hope to kick off the week and a lot of different nonsense. You got to look at this play of the ESPN top 10 plays this morning. You got to watch this play here. This might be the greatest interception in the history of watch it in slow replay.
Whoa.
Now watch it in slow replay. He goes over the receiver with one hand. Canadian football.
Yeah, that's CFL, isn't it?
That's where it's at, baby. That's where it's at. Canadian football. Isn't that something? You think he's maybe there's an NFL team that called, like texted him immediately after that catch, an NFL team that said, hey.
For those of you who know anything about gymnastics and football, it's the Odell Beckham catch plus a full turn. Like,
yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it is.
Exactly. I am sorry. I had to bring the whole kit because I grabbed these glasses today from the glasses rack that I've got with a few pairs on it in the dark bedroom this morning.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize that the last time I had worn them, two things had happened. First of all, I weed whacked a lot.
Uh-oh.
And second of all,
juice.
I failed to clean. There's a green screen on my glasses that doesn't mean what it normally means when you use that phrase. It means I can't see squat through these right now, so I've got the full kit right now.
You know what the main ingredient of crazy super glue is, right? It's weed juice. Yeah. You put weed juice on glasses when you're weed whipping and stuff.
Is this a topic from the list, Joel? I think we better re-rack here.
I feel like I'm in the middle of some kind of scientific experiment here. He's got a bottle. He's got a paper towel. He's got a lot of things going on here.
What I'm holding here, Joel, is this is as good a topic as any. This was Rachel and I being pushovers. This is the kind of glasses cleaning kit that you can only get when it's pitched to you from a booth at the Minnesota State Fair, and you went inside the barn building where they've got all the food, and those two kids who just bought shirts at Kohl's on the way to the fair nab you, sir, I see you're wearing glasses. And somehow, we wound up buying things from those people. I consider this one of the greatest failures of my life, because this is like a lip balm. It's a solid lens cleaner, and I'm sure that has a place in the world, but it wasn't in my pocket. I didn't need a solid lens cleaner. You spray lens cleaners. I don't know. But, I mean, they work. So I'm using them. I'm trying to get rid of them so I can forget that I ever bought them.
Great. He's cleaning his glasses. He's multitasking. I got to talk a little bit about the Brewers because last week we did the show, did not talk any about the Brewers, and I got it from a few people.
We talked pickleball, though.
We did. That's a good point there. Close.
Can't make them all happy. You can make them all upset, though.
Yes.
We'll try that next week.
Brewers and Cubs, big three-game set at AmFam Field. They are tied for the best record in the National League. Toronto's got them by a few percentage points overall. But this is fun. This has to be a first ever that the Brewers and Cubs Cubs are tied atop the division with the best record in the league this late in the season. It's fun. It's exciting. Baseball fans, sports, even non-baseball fans are starting to pay attention a little bit to this Brewer team.
If you like, that's one of the things that I think makes sports a little bit tough is that to the people who are outside looking in, it's like, what's the access? Where's the What do I want to see, you know? And of course, what team do I want to follow? No, don't pick a team. You want to root for the close game. And that's why when you've got two teams in a division like this, the Brewers and the Cubs, that's why I, as a football fan, I love this era. We are entering the best era of Packers fandom because, yeah, Aaron Rodgers was cool. Whooping up on the Bears has been really fun for my entire life, but that's not fun. It's not actually fun. That's big brother nonsense. You're 6 years older. You're not actually stronger. You're ahead of the game. Like, so let's actually have some fair competition. Let's lose a couple. Let's have a chance because the fear, the balance between fear and exhilaration is the whole point.
Yeah, Bears are, they got the Packers, what, once last year or twice? Was it one out of the two?
The Bears beat us, was it? I think it was just once, but it was
felt like 10. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it mattered a lot. It might have been both times. Why do I feel like somebody said recently that the Bears were undefeated in the division last year, and it's thrown me off since then. I don't know if that's true at all. I gotta get myself right here. It's been a Monday already. Yeah. We've had like three whole Mondays worth of time today.
Yeah, it was a warm weekend too. I hope everybody's feeling okay today. It was hard. I went up to Pioneer Days in Butternut yesterday, threw a few bags. I was up there for like 5 hours, and I realized just this morning when I woke up, I thought to myself, I never went to the bathroom once. I mean, usually, you know what? I had a beer, I had a water, I had a Pepsi, and thought to myself, I might be dehydrated. I never anti-liquidated once the whole day, but that's how hot it was yesterday.
Call me lazy, but I've done a lot of work to avoid hard work in my life. But also, I'm far more comfortable in heat than in cold. That said, my body's got needs, so I sweat when it gets hot enough. I know I'm going to get judged for this, and I'm going to get judged fairly for it. I haven't sweated through many shirts. You know, I haven't been that guy where he's walking down the street, he's like, wow, that guy is feeling it. Like, I don't visibly sweat very often, honestly. It happened on Saturday. We were in a boathouse, a wooden shack, and we had to get down in it in the heat of the day and basically reattach the walls and the floor because we needed to level the thing out. And boy, you sit in a boathouse with no fan. It's only like, I don't know, things probably 6x6 or so just like 35 square feet. That's a sauna. That's a sauna. We weren't even doing things. We weren't moving things heavy or doing anything difficult. But you're just sweating.
I caught a good breeze up on Crystal Lake in Iron River, Wisconsin on Saturday that made the day a lot cooler. You catch a little breeze in the right, between two buildings. It kind of funnels together, and we were just perfectly placed on Saturday. But yesterday was warm at Pioneer Days in Butternut. There's no doubt about it. I want to talk a little bit today about auctions because I was Saturday. I'm going to get to auctions in just a little bit. I want to talk about this first of all because I had a wonderful day Saturday visiting with some relatives on my wife's side of the family. My wife's uncle, who is 90, and his wife, who is probably about 85 or 86. And I had a chat with her kind of on the side while everyone else was, because it's my wife's family, and then she is kind of married into the family. So we were kind of like family, but not, you know, kind of family removed a little bit.
Sidelines,
So we were talking a little bit, and she was raised in England. She's about 85 years old, and she was raised in England and met my wife's Uncle Lawrence later in life after her husbands and wives had passed away.
You said he's 90, she's about 85?
Yeah,
that's a big age gap. You think they have much in common?
And anyway, she grew up in England, and she was a war baby. And I kind of stumbled into this conversation. I asked, what was it like growing up in England? And she told me, and she said, you know, I was born in 1939 or 40. So I was a war baby. I remember being bombed as a kid and my dad protecting us. And I remember other people in our village dying down the street from a bomb that hit them. And I thought to myself, we're losing this generation. We're losing these stories. You know, if you have people in your life who are from that era, who have any link and memory to that time, to that World War II time, because, you know, what they say about history, if you don't remember it, you'll probably repeat it, right?
Oh, absolutely.
And she was telling me these stories of growing up there, and I had to ask her the question that was in the back of my mind, and I said, don't do it, Joel, and I did. And I looked at her, and I said, her name is Wendy. I said, Wendy, I said, what was it like growing up in England? Did you hate Germans? Did you hate the Nazis? And she said it so well. She said, you know what? We hated the Nazis and the German government. We did not hate the German people.
Right.
And that was just like, that kind of gave me a different perspective on what it was like growing up after maybe the war. But it's one of those rare experiences where you go to a family get together, and I had a half hour conversation that I never foresaw coming at all, talking with someone who grew up in England being bombed by the Nazis, and it was just it was something else. So if you have someone in your life who is of that age, chat with them, bring out some of that from their brain a little bit. I guarantee you they want to talk about it. I guarantee you.
Yeah, I mean, and there will be those who don't, and certainly respect that. But I remember, I think it was either in my early 20s or not long before that, I realized I kind of sat there and just did the mental math and thought, holy cow, we've got to be pretty short on World War I veterans. And I Googled it at the time, and sure enough, I think there were only like six. I'm pretty sure there are no more American World War I veterans. I don't think, I mean, it might sound even silly saying this, we might be completely globally without any of those anymore. And that's, I mean, it happened so fast. Yeah. I mean, just think about it. Let's say you were 18 when Pearl Harbor was bombed. That was 1941. That means you were born in 1923. That means you're 102 today.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, those World War II veterans are going to be in ever shorter supply. And if they want to talk, you darn well listen. And hey, bring a pad of paper or a laptop, because we've got better archiving and recording capability. And again, per their discretion, if they don't want you to record that sort of thing, then don't. But I think often of what we just let go, feeling like we'll be able to look back on it one day. You know, like I look back at even just something as simple as Mondays we've spent together. It's like, you know what? Well, unless we take steps, we can't listen to that again. Thankfully, we've got an archive. But so much just is gone, you know?
Yeah, it gives. I walked away from that with an appreciation for what we have, what I have in life and freedom and just all that stuff. And sometimes in life you stumble into those things and you're just very appreciative afterwards of the opportunity to visit with people like that. What else on the list? You had something on the list, I think, didn't you? Maybe not. Or maybe I didn't delete it.
Maybe I didn't save it. I think it's at the top there.
Something lighter. Happy Gilmore 2. I watched it Friday night. All right.
that's a
look of disgust. I was ready to jump. Okay, let me just say this. If you liked Happy Gilmore, the first one, if you laughed at it, at the Bob Barker fighting scene and stuff like that, you'll love Happy Gilmore too, because it's a complete duplicate with different faces. They did it right. It's just as good as the first one.
I disagree.
If did you watch it?
So I did something that we don't do.
Uh-oh.
We DNF'd it. We did not finish it.
We
got about half an hour in.
Uh-oh.
And okay, I don't want to spoil it, but like, yes, I agree. Like there was a certain but like I felt like they were squeezing the nostalgia trigger so hard that I couldn't break into it. And then I made the mistake of Googling the cast. That ballerina in the beginning of the movie that sets the tone, that's like, that's his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
That's Sunny Sandler. And her coach, that's his wife.
He had a lot of family in there. Yes.
So, and I'm cool with that. If you've got, and he's got a very talented family. They were better actors than I might have expected your whole family to be. You know, I get worried about that ever since The Godfather Part 3. It's like that was a misstep. The Sofia Coppola did not need to be in that. She's a fantastic director, but you get the idea.
A lot of celebrity appearances.
That's part of it I was excited about.
Yeah.
But within that first half hour that we watched, about 10 minutes of it was straight up clips replayed from the first one.
That's true.
And it's like, okay, you can call back to things without just playing a 3-minute segment. Like, I remember, I'm watching Happy Gilmore 2 because I love number one. Mm-hmm. I can watch Happy Gilmore 1 in my head anytime I want. I got it down. If you ever see me staring into space for exactly 1 hour and 37 minutes and 16 seconds, it's because I'm watching Happy Gilmore 1 in my head. I don't need 10 minutes of that movie again.
I enjoyed that they brought Jack Nicklaus into it. They brought Freddie Couples into it. They brought some of the old classic golfers. And then they had Shoffley. They had Scheffler. They had McIlroy. There was a fourth golfer, too. And
was DeChambeau in it?
DeChambeau, I think. Those guys, they don't say no, right?
No.
They call and they say, do you want to be in it? You just say yes. And then the greatest golfer in the world, Scottie Scheffler, ends up in, I don't want to ruin it, spoiler alert, but the time he spent in jail was just classic. You got to watch the rest of it, Gray.
I mean, okay.
Because you just got to, maybe you need a different mindset. But I
probably.
My wife and I, we finished that movie and I looked at her and I said, it was everything we thought we would be and I loved it.
Was this the same day that you mentioned there were some adult beverages consumed?
No.
Of dehydration?
No, this was Friday.
See, that might speak to the mindset necessary because I don't drink alcohol, and so that might be why I was not able to get. See, like, I don't know. There was a certain feeling in the unfolding of the story process of Happy Gilmore 1 that I didn't quite feel in Happy Gilmore 2, and that could have carried me through. You know, the general feel from that movie, which I think was partially the cinematography, partially the, you know, you go through and if you watch the history of any movie that you love, Jurassic Park, Toy Story, whatever, right, you find out that one of the things you love the most only happened because their original plan failed 6 times and they had to cobble this together in 6 hours, like some miracle that should have never worked, birthed the part of the movie that you love most. And like, I kind of believe that might be necessary for a good movie. You might need those limitations. And you just know when they said Happy Gilmore 2, they got every dollar they asked for.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that might have affected, and not necessarily in a good way, what they got. You know, I love the celebrity cameos, especially when they're done well. But I mean, like, the 2012 Packers are in Pitch Perfect 2. And you go back now, you show your kids Pitch Perfect 2, they're like, who's the dude with the long hair and the silly jaw? Clay Matthews was a god, first of all.
Yeah.
But, like, it's not going to age well. I mean, I don't know.
Maybe it's just a contributing factor may be that my wife and I, getting older now, we're starved for something that makes us laugh on TV because, I don't know, I think when you get older, sitcoms are just like, I've seen it, whatever, I don't want to do it. Maybe we were just so starved for something nostalgic and funny at the same time. It's not politically correct. There's stuff in there that, you know, if you're a straight lacer and you don't want it's got a few things in there. There's no nudity or anything like that. Wait a minute, there might have been a bare butt in there.
Yeah,
but other than
Sandler.
That,
Sandler knows how to walk the line, though. You know,
yeah, but I thought it was the cameos. Eminem was in there. Becky Lynch from the WWE was in there. We Googled cameos afterwards of the people that were in there, and I found it entertaining. So you didn't finish it though, right?
No, we didn't even.
I challenge you to finish it now. Youngster,
we
challenge
didn't even
you.
Make it an hour. I'm kind of ashamed. Like, we don't do that often. We don't tap out very often, but we've actually done that twice within the last couple weekends, and the other one was an animated film we wanted to try, and it just, I don't know. We needed to do what was best for us in the moment.
You revisit it, and then we'll revisit it again on the Gray Area later.
This
all
is
right?
Peer pressure. This is what it sounds like.
8:31, more of the Gray Area coming up here on 98Q.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Trump and European Union Commission President Ursula von der Leyen announcing a sweeping trade deal that raises tariffs on most European goods to 15%, warding off the president's 30% threat if a deal wasn't reached by August 1st. The president and British Prime Minister Keir Starmer are meeting right now in Scotland. An investigation underway after a stabbing spree in Traverse City, Michigan.
New video showing bystanders confronting the alleged suspect after police say he went on a random stabbing spree outside a Michigan Walmart Saturday.
I need
units
inside Walmart. I've got multiple victims.
At least 11 people between the ages of 29 and 84 years old were injured, among them a Walmart employee.
The suspect will be arraigned today on terrorism and assault charges, says ABC's Mola Lange. There's a statewide manhunt underway in Arkansas after a couple was found murdered in a state park hiking trail. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News, I'm Joel Karnick, and here's what Northern Wisconsin needs to know. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources has announced the Warden of the Year for 2024, and that's Conservation Warden Bradley Dahlquist. Melissa Kay has the story.
A member of the Antigo Warden team in the DNR's Northeast region, Dahlquist received the prestigious award at a banquet on July 12th. The Haskell Noyes Warden of the Year Award, created 95 years ago, is one of the highest honors bestowed to Wisconsin conservation wardens. According to a press release from the DNR, recipients demonstrate an ability to lead a quality law enforcement conservation program that balances enforcement, education, and community involvement. Those who know him describe Dahlquist as a humble leader with a contagious can-do attitude backed by a strong drive for public service.
Well, Wisconsin legislators have come together in an effort to honor our veterans. Joanne Krulatz reports.
In a rare show of bipartisan support, Democratic U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin and Republican Representative Tony Weed from the 8th Congressional District introduced a bipartisan bill to honor veterans who participated in Operation End Sweep with the Vietnam Service Medal. Participants in Operation End Sweep, a mission to clear dangerous mines in North Vietnam after the war, are currently ineligible for this service medal because their service took place after the United States had officially withdrawn from Vietnam in January 1973. The bill is inspired by retired Navy Commander Michael Cosgrove of Sturgeon Bay, Wisconsin, who spent 5 months in and out of North Vietnamese waters and received virtually no credit for the work.
For Civic Media News, I'm Joel Karnick. Find more news at civicmedia.us.
It's the Cubs and the Crew. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, where the Cubs and the Brewers come into tonight's game at AmFam Field, tied for first place in the division. On the mound for Chicago, lefty Matthew Boyd against the Miz. 23-year-old Jacob Mizorowski, Brewers pitcher Brandon Woodruff.
This kid throws 102. Like, if I was him, I wouldn't be scared of nothing. You know, he deserves a lot of the hype he's getting because, I mean, he's just, you don't see pitchers like him. I think he's not going to approach it any different than any other game. He's getting ready for the Cubs, and yeah, he's been thrown into these atmospheres a little bit. He just goes about his day like any other day, and he'll be ready.
NFL Packers training camp, players now in full pads. I talked to Xavier McKinney.
We locked in, man. You know, personally for me, you know, I got one goal in my mind, and that's to win the championship. So, you know, in order to get that done, obviously you got to win the division. So we just laser focused right now.
That's the Packers safety Xavier McKinney with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Logger United Booster Club is proudly supported by Northern Comfort Systems Specialists of Phillips. They handle all your HVAC products and services. They're not comfortable until you're comfortable.
Up the dog! Get ready for the third annual Harvorama this Thursday, July 31st, in Empty Pockets on Old 13 Road in Butternut, Wisconsin. Your unofficial but main kickoff to Flamborama weekend. Enjoy Harvin Ben's famous wings and burgers, local food trucks, and live music all evening. Blues Drivers kicks off the night at 5 p.m. with high energy jams until 7:30. Ben Shane Kronberg's entire family band, The Numbers, take the stage with classic rock. Bar opens at 11. $10 wristband specials include two drinks. Must be 21 and over to attend.
Get ready for a laid-back summer with 98Q Country and Trail Mix WPFP. Now through July 30th, one qualifier will be picked each weekday. Listen for the daily keyword announced several times on both stations, then text it using the free Civic Media app to enter. All qualifiers win a prize, and one scores the grand prize, a recliner from Shawamigan Home Furnishings. The winner will be drawn Friday, August 1st, under the Flamborama tent. Must be present to win. Don't miss your chance. Listen for daily keywords on 98Q Country and Trail Mix WPFP.
You've got so much glorious summer to fill. What are you gonna do with it? Easy answer, do it your way at MOA. Do it up with Nickelodeon Universe's Ultimate Summer Party, Dora's 25th Anniversary Celebration, slimy fun events and hair-raising rides. Do Crayola Experience for the littlest ones. And here's a bright idea. Do it smart with MOA attraction bundles and the no-worries 72 degrees and sunny forecast every day. That's your summer, your way at MOA. mallofamerica.com.
Mostly sunny today with a high in the upper 80s this afternoon. It will be muggy with a heat index in the upper 90s today. Tonight, scattered thunderstorms will drop into the mid-60s. Tomorrow, a few scattered thunderstorms with a high in the upper 70s to near 80. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 68.
Couple of birthdays to get out here. Chris Sharp is celebrating today from the Other Sharps. Chris, happy birthday to you today. And Nick Westfall is celebrating today also for Mom Eric and Jenny and Tom and the CW crew. Right, I'm going to be a part of the CW crew. Nick Westfall, happy birthday to you. Both of you in for the cake drawing on Friday.
Talk about the bandwagon effect. You just found out it existed and you already won on. Got to get one of those great jackets.
That's right. That's right. So I had a discussion, the same place I went to Saturday where I had the discussion with my relative who was from England. I was talking with my wife's uncle, great uncle, I think, who's 90. And we were talking about auctions. He loved auctions. He has a problem with auctions. He loves live auctions. He does the online ones once in a while, but he's old school like I am, misses the live auctions. And he has a problem. He has a problem going there with a trailer and coming back with a lot of stuff he probably doesn't need.
Don't bring the trailer.
Yeah, exactly.
Limit yourself.
So my wife and I, we love the Heckman Auctions, heckmanauction.com, heck yeah. And we love the auctions. And I realized last week one of the biggest things about an online auction that that you often don't find at a live auction, and that is the ability to find treasures inside of items that you buy. Because at a live auction, Gray, things get worked over. Right? I mean, if there's a dresser there or people are lifting and they're looking and they're saying, did somebody tuck a $50 bill under this bed? You know, they're looking. They're looking.
Examining like a prized cow, every object on the stage.
Right. So an online auction, they still have a preview day, but they're not as picked over. So my wife and I bought a dresser for a dollar last week at an auction.
Which is a decision.
Yeah, a decision. Yes, because my son eventually will have his own place, so we're kind of stockpiling a little bit of furniture for him in case he has to do that. So inside of this dresser, I found, just wonderful. There's nothing like buying a dresser for a dollar, getting it home, pulling out the drawers, and thinking to yourself, I'm going to check just to see. Now, I already revealed to you this, and I should have YouTubed this, but I found pulling out the dresser and a flat surface underneath the top drawer was an unopened, seal-wrapped Dwight Yoakam Gone CD from probably 1993, I believe.
Now, I want to know, why did that end up in the drawer? And I think the second object will add to the mystery of the first. because, hey, maybe it wasn't a storage for clothing. You know, maybe they didn't keep clothes in this particular drawer. People store a lot of things in drawers that aren't clothes. Well, just wait. There's object two to deal with. But yeah, Dwight Yoakam's Gone. What can I see that? I want to see the track list for Dwight Yoakam's Gone.
Is
Sorry You Asked the feature track? And then, well, that might not be the feature track, but Sorry You Asked, Near You, Don't Be Sad. Number four is Gone, of course. Number four off in the actual feature. Five is Nothing, Never Hold You, This Much I Know, Baby Why Not, One More Night, and Heart of Stone.
None of his big hits.
No, not a single one. Gone.
Might have won it from WCQM, maybe. Or maybe it was a Christmas present, and they hit it, and then forgot where they put it. But somehow ends up below, fell out of the drawer into the back and the little platform there. So the other thing we found on the way in the bottom, was an unopened pack of 1989 Fruit of the Loom, one's blue, one's green, underwear.
Well, yeah, they're unopened. They're tidy, bluey, greenies.
1989. $7 back then, which is pretty expensive, I thought, for underwear for back in 1989.
They've ballooned. It's double that now. You buy three decent pairs of underwear, you're paying $15-$18. I despise buying basics. A hole in a sock is a tragedy.
94% cotton.
Inflation.
They're going to be tried on eventually, but I haven't opened them yet.
I don't need to know that. You hadn't confirmed that out loud to this point. I was horrified of the thought.
My wife is such a thrift store expert, though. I showed them to her, and I said, this could be worth something on eBay. And she said, you can find them at any thrift store. She said, probably unopened, too.
I'm just noticing the sticker, though. That's a piece of quality nostalgia right there. They Pomida. Were sold in Pomida,
yeah,
which now houses a lot of fishing rods. Used to be a Shopko building that I actually had. One of my first big boy jobs was converting that building from a Pomida
to a Shopko. Yeah.
Dewey Hahn, we goofed off a lot, you and I,
you
making
and Dewey,
those fixtures.
Huh?
Yeah, we did. We were two teenage kids, and they needed to unbox a lot of those. Like, all the store shelving was new from Shopko, like the rack that held the earrings stuff. And, I mean, that's as simple as it gets. Unbox it, move these 30 pounds of steel into position, and just put a couple screws in, which is as dumb as labor gets, and that's why me and Dewey did it. He was way smarter than me, but we were both suited for the task.
You never know when life is going to surprise you. A $1 dresser turns into a nice quality dresser, an unopened Dwight Yoakam CD from 1993, and an unopened 1980 three-pack of Fruit of the Loom underwear, all for a buck.
It comes with tangential nostalgia, like that early job I had at Shopko. Not my first job, though. I worked at the Pizza Hut that eventually burned in Minocqua. And no, I wasn't involved. Everybody makes that
joke.
We
jumped on that real quick, didn't he? Huh?
It's amazing how many people... You know, like, if you've got a funny name, you know people will make the joke. Like, Gray, yeah, I've heard it, believe me. But, like, same thing if you mention that you worked somewhere that burned. Immediately, people give you that look. And it's like, oh, here it comes. Here it comes. The seismograph has picked up the impending earthquake. It is the same joke I've heard every time.
More of the Gray Area. Joel Karnick here. Gray there. We archive this every Monday from 8 to 9. I was listening this morning to a comedy clip, and it got me thinking. I'm going to play the comedy clip for you first of all.
Okay.
And then we're going to talk a little bit about where my mind process went on this.
Love the vowels. You guys love vowels. You don't care. A, the letter A. How many A's can you put in one street name? How many A's? That's too many A's. That's why if anyone comes to Hawaii, I'm talking to the world right now. If you come to Hawaii, don't ask for directions. All the streets sound the same. You'll ask for directions and they'll be like, oh, that's easy, brother. This is how you get there. You just go down Kalea, 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 Kalea. Make a right turn and look left turn on noko and then a right turn on apostrophe love everything about Hawaii. Can't get enough of it. I don't even listen to the music and I love it. I live when I'm here, I can't stop listening to it. Don't know any of the words, I don't care. I drive and I sing, Hanu.
So after I listened to that, I was thinking to myself, how the United States, it's so unique in the fact that we've got so many different cultures just within our country, of course, from one part to the next. And then you've got Hawaii over there, which is just so unique from anything else really in the United States. And it just kind of hit me. I'm just like, yeah, it's just, we know how it happened, but that's just very unique, Hawaii.
Yeah, incredibly so. And I mean, if you're curious, a very boiled down version of why that is, it's the nature of their alphabet, the root alphabet of the Hawaiian language, which I'm not even sure it's honestly referred to as the Hawaiian language. So forgive all the ignorance baked into this, but it's a different alphabet with a different ratio of consonants to vowels. If I'm not mistaken, I think there's like four out of the five vowels we use, but only like 10 of the 21 consonants. So you get a lot of vowels. And it was from the moment he said that, it's like, oh yeah, I bet he's talking about Hawaii. It's gotta be. And it's true of the Pacific Islands, which I believe are where native Hawaiians came from. I mean, they were like tribal people on rafts that made it to Hawaii from the southern Pacific Islands. That's why there's a lot of shared, like there's a lot of really cool history in that part of the world.
Yeah,
and it's just, yeah, it's kind of just lumped on. And like you said, we know why it happened. It's not the prettiest piece of history ever, how Hawaii became part of the United States, but we've got a knack for unpretty history. Looking back, though, it looks like a finely crafted novel like they show you in sixth grade, though, right?
Yeah.
It's that McGraw-Hill textbook effect, I think. But
I've never been. I've never been to Hawaii.
Neither have I.
I have a nephew who travels there a lot for his work with the government. He lives out in Washington, so I see a lot of pictures, stories of, but I've never been. Never been.
No, and credit to that comedian. I think he found a really good way to just kind of show off that he could sing a little bit in that bit too.
Yeah, that was nice.
Like, I want to show these people I could just do this.
It's just something about if you're on Smith Lake or you're on wherever you are here in the Northwoods, you could put some Hawaiian music on and it would work. It would work. It would be fine.
Oh, we've got if you haven't ever tuned in to our sister station over at Hayward WHSM, we've got a colleague, Mark Lundeen, who wears exclusively Hawaiian shirts, and I'm thinking he's probably just in a good mood off the vibe we're sending that way.
Yeah.
Just kind of a pro-Hawaiian feel. He's got that signature shirt.
Yeah. Well, the Brewers are having a fun run right now. And I was thinking, I've been wanting to talk about this for a while, but I just want to dip my toe a little bit because I don't want to offend.
Oh, we're getting risky.
I don't want to offend anyone, but the Brewers... The Brewers have got to get a former player on their announcing crew as a rotation because the guys that do it now do a great job. Don't get me wrong. They do a great job.
Oh, I hear the butt.
But we went,
there it was. There it was. That was the butt.
But we went how many years with Uke? How many years with Uke and all the stories? And we need to find an ex-player. I'm a Twins fan. I listen to a lot of Twins broadcasts where they have former Twins Dan Gladden, Justin Morneau, Glenn Perkins, and they just provide insight that is that makes me want to listen.
Yeah.
Even when they're not doing well, and that's what Uecker used to do. And I'm not saying we're going to find another Uecker, but I really think that the radio team needs to get that into their broadcast somehow.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, and that's something I think about a lot because the most knowledgeable I can personally ever be about football, let's say, you know, I work my way up to work for ESPN one day. I'm still one of those skinny dudes in a suit who very obviously has never put on pads after seventh grade. And there's expertise that's just missing from that. I haven't been there.
Yeah.
You know, so there are things that I will never be able to say, really cool, insightful, salient things that only a player could ever spot. And it takes the right player, too. Like you said, you're not going to find another Bob Uecker.
No.
The insight, I mean, remember when Tony Romo just started announcing and they didn't tell him to stop predicting the future yet? And he was doing that really cool thing where he said, hey, look at how the tight end's on the right, but see how the running back's aligned? This is going to be a run to the left. Bam, hand off to the left. And he did that for like a season and a half when very obviously the powers that be said, Tony, stop. But it felt like we were being let in on something. You know, it felt like the cool club was, hey, come over here, check this out. Mm-hmm. You know, that was awesome. And that the viewership experience was second to none.
Yeah, you can, I mean, every person on this planet has something that they have been a part of, a perspective that no one else has, or very few other people have. You can localize it. An old paper mill worker, somebody who worked at the paper mill. You could get stories out of those guys of the in-depth workings of the paper mill that you can't get anywhere else. So if you were doing a show about the history of paper and how it was made, that's the guy you would want on there because he could tell you stories about how it all comes together and the dangers of it and the chemicals and all that stuff.
Yep.
And that's what a former player brings. He brings the dugout. He brings the spring training. He brings all that to it that you just can't get anywhere else.
It's a translation, too. What that person can do, they've walked in. You know, they didn't play baseball from birth, though. I know many of them pick them up and throw them pretty hard at 3 years old these days. But you've got a person who can translate into normal people talk. You know, the you and me version of it. Because if they, you know, they can go out there, two former MLB players, and speak a language that you and I don't even speak, which is the experience. And of course, yes, the actual jargon they use, but it's the experience they have. And, you know, they'll smile at things that wouldn't make me laugh because I don't know why it's worth laughing about. But like, what immediately comes to mind, not to get philosophical, it's me, it's gonna happen, sorry. But have you ever seen Schindler's List?
Yes. Oh, one of my favorites, but just, yeah, great.
The
great
ring,
movie.
The ring they give to Schindler at the end, and that Hebrew saying that's inside it has always stuck with me. I absolutely love it, which is he who saves one life saves the world entire. And the whole idea is that each of us is, yes, we contribute something unique to the world, but we also experience it in our own unique way. You know, you and I go about life in ways that, yeah, are probably pretty similar. And there's somebody out there doing things a lot like me who would sound like me when you talk to him, but we haven't been through the same things. And so each of us and our perspectives and how we experience the world is almost like its own version of the world. It's a flavor, it's an interpretation of what's surrounding all of us that's unique because of that person. And that's why it matters so much that it's, you know, that the influences are there, that, like, who knows what made Euchre that goofball, that slightly crass, that, like, those northern Wisconsin notes that were there, like, who knows where that exactly came from. Yeah, we can read his history and find it, but again, there's nobody out there just like him. But a former baseball player, yeah, that's, I mean, you can get some good voices who know the game well, but much like me, you'll always be able to smell that, nah, they've never been on that grass and they've never committed an error, you know, they've never done the thing.
Yeah, exactly.
So there's a scent to it.
Yes. So hopefully we can get that eventually. I don't want to, because like I said before, the guys who do the game, so the Brewers right now do a great job. Just need that personal touch in there at some point.
Look at NFL. Every Good Morning Football, everything like that. You've got a couple guys who are experts and really good, and they're good TV faces. And then you've also got those players, former players, every time. NBA, MLB, NFL, doesn't matter. If it's a TV program, there's a former player there that anchors it with the facts, with the experience. Yeah, it's got that. The model is proven, and it's not in Milwaukee right now for good reason. Rest in peace, Bob Euchre.
Yes, sir.
Those are some big, goofy shoes to fill.
Packer football is geared up. You were at Lambeau Field last Thursday. You got to walk around and be a big media stud there and just puff your chest up. But it was a fun experience, I heard, right?
Well, yeah, I felt like a big man on campus walking into a room full of people who I had watched accept dozens of awards a couple of months back at the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association. But no, it was fantastic because there were, I mean, I remember getting that email a little while ago and thinking, okay, this is a really cool opportunity. I can foresee it being something kind of different to different people within the organization that receives it because, you know, and I think I mentioned this when I popped up on Friday after I came back. There's a wide umbrella. There's a lot of different types of people who categorize themselves as broadcasters, from the engineers to the people on the mic like you and me. And so people were pulling a lot of different experiences. Me, I was a little kid in a candy store because, and I was telling them this, I was like, I know I'm taking terrible pictures of players that might not even make the team. And there are a million pictures just like this out there that I could find anywhere. But I haven't taken any of them. None of them are on my phone. And so I'm snapping pictures of players like, that's Ketan Oladipe. Like, yes. And is he going to make the roster? Probably not. Like, but I it was fantastic. Watching him do the biking thing was so cool. Underrated thing I didn't see coming, the control room. I told you about it. That control room for just the experience at Lambeau Field. It takes 53 people just for the stadium experience. No broadcast, nothing getting out on TV. If you see a light go off in time with the music, if you hear the music at Lambeau Field, one of 53 people is controlling that in real time. It's awesome.
Yeah, quite an experience to experience. It's one of my favorite times to go to a stadium is when it's empty, is when there's nothing going on behind the scenes. I got to do that at the Metrodome one time. I haven't been able to do that with US Bank in Minneapolis. Like Lambeau and AmFam Field, to see some of the behind-the-scenes stuff is pretty cool because it's quite an operation, folks.
Yeah.
It's quite a huge operation.
I took the silliest picture. I've got what might be the most boring picture of the operations at Lambeau Field, which is the press dining area, which is, it's just where you, it's like a buffet style salad bar sort of setup with the ice wells to keep the food cold or hot or whatever.
Yeah.
The steam table. It's a steam table. And then you've got all the seating area that looks like fancy middle school cafeteria tables with the individual stools so you don't have to slide down the benches or climb in funky. So it's like as fancy as cafeteria seating can get, but the number of spaces available, it's bigger than the St. Anthony's cafeteria that I grew up in. So like I took this picture and like if you look at this picture, it's the most boring picture. It looks like I don't know how to use a camera. Why did I take this picture? That was for little old me. That was for 10-year-old me. Like, man, this is just for the press people.
Yeah,
oh,
they
my
do.
Gosh.
They do. Most major league teams treat the media pretty good because, like our guy Mike Clemens, you know, he's there a couple hours before the game, 2-3 hours before the game, and then through the game, and then after the game, they're spending 8 to 10 hours there, and the teams realize that, and a lot of times they provide complimentary, meal and snacks and food and stuff for the media people, which is pretty nice.
I got reviews on that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah?
A couple of the guys we got to listen to, one of the main writers from Packers.com, one of the things that one of the participants asked them in a Q&A session was, what teams do it best for traveling press? And Dallas, first and foremost, if you are a member of the press and you're traveling to watch a game and report on it, you hope it's a Cowboy game. Because apparently Jerry has not held back on his splurges when it comes to what you get for like craft services and stuff. But if you wonder why the Dan Snyder era Redskins were so panned, it's because the people typing up the stories were not being fed good food. And they apparently had drips in the ceiling. Like you were doing the Mission Impossible laser dance around some water coming from above. So it's a wide breadth of experiences for a member of the press in the NFL. And that was the sneak peek we were supposed to get as members of the Broadcasters Association. But I got to watch the Packers do the bike thing, and that was pretty cool, too.
Quick Jerry Jones note to wrap it up. Jerry Jones bought the Cowboys way back when for $150 million, and they are now worth $10 billion. $150 million to $10 billion. Not too shabby there, young man.
He's an interesting bunch of guys.
Yeah, thank you, Gray. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Joel.
Gray Area Monday mornings from 8 to 9 here on 98Q.
When you're hiring, have you ever felt like you're missing out on meeting great candidates? Well, they're not hard to find when you go to ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter helps 10 million people with their job search every day. People who are actively looking for jobs like yours. So it's easy to find the right person fast. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the